particularly the Gospel of John, chapter 6, continue on. Perhaps you remember the gospel lesson from last week was the feeding of the 5,000 that opened John in chapter 6. And we had looked at that, you know, many, many times over the years here. But last week we tried to look, just take one slice and look at it from one angle, one special angle. And that angle came from the Old Testament lesson with the sons and the school of the prophets under Elisha, and how God was forming a new priesthood. There was a changing of the guard. Because those foodstuffs that were delivered to Elisha, that he gave to his 100 men, and they were miraculously fed, authenticated them and legitimized them and filled them to the full, and had them replace the priesthood of Israel under Jeroboam that was now apostate. Fast forward to the New Testament, you have this changing of the guard again, and what do you see? You see Jesus gathering about them, just like David gathered unto himself everyone who was in debt, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was discouraged, came to David and made him king. And so Jesus has this following of 5,000, and they too receive bread from God. And God is again feeding a new priesthood. The food for priests. The first fruits, rather, were food for priests. Designated, appointed for the priests. And so we see in Elisha, we see in the life of Jesus, that those first fruits given to the priests are given to God's people, those who are following Jesus. Then we came to the communion table. And what do we learn about Jesus in the New Testament? He's the first fruits. And guess then, who are the rightful, legal recipients of the first fruits? It's us, the priests, the new priests. You know, we have a whole bunch of wannabe priests in our culture trying to tell everybody what to do, and they're holier than thou, and they're giving us all of their moralisms. But we are the divinely authorized priesthood of God. And he proves that to us week after week in giving us the first fruits. Jesus Christ himself, the first fruits of them that rise from the dead, symbolizing that we are his priests. What a glory is ours. What a glory we live in. That was our angle from last week. But John 6 is all about these foodstuffs. And we were in it last week. We're going to be in it today. We're going to be in it for another couple of weeks ahead. And no one single sermon can cover all of the angles and all of the aspects of this marvelous thing that's taking place here in John chapter 6. But I want to begin today by titling the sermon Enduring or Expiring. From John 6 and verse 27, we saw this verse earlier. And in the old King James, it says, labor not for the meat, right? Just an old English word for food. John 6, 27. Labor not for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. You're going to get this through. The Son of Man shall give to you. For him has God the Father sealed. Father God in heaven, we thank you for it. This one verse and the several passages we'll look at here today. Help us to know how very blessed we are to be authorized and ordained, legitimized as your priests, who rule and reign with you. And that you fill your priest to the full. And that in Christ we have everything that we need. And therefore we can proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Fill us again today, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Geico insurance company used to produce what I find, and you may disagree, to be some of the most enjoyable television ads I've ever seen. There's a recent one. It features the benefits of kind of like bundling your insurance plans, and it kind of goes along with this homeowners thing that they have here. And it opens with this couple, and they're sitting on the couch in their new home. And they're thrilled about their new home. They've got more space, it says. They have extra space. They even have an extra room. But then you hear the wife kind of quip, and she says, "But we have ants." Now, we soon discover that those ants are spelled A-U-N-T. Oh, that extra space. They had some of their ants living with them. A-U-N-T. And one of them walks in as the couple are sitting there in their new house and the new couch, just enjoying all the benefits that they have. And she walks in and she says, "You're slouching again, Ted." "You're slouching again, Ted." And then, of course, another one comes in, and it's Aunt Bonnie. Who could forget Aunt Bonnie, right? She's standing at the open refrigerator. Expired! Expired! She pulls out another food stuff. Expired! Another food stuff. Expired! And the wife says, "Thanks, Aunt Bonnie. Thanks for letting me know." Have you ever given much thought about your tastes? What it is you crave? What it is in the world you're partaking of? Your dreams, your goals, your desires. Are they that which is enduring, or are they that which is expiring? Ask a different way, what is it that makes you tick? What gives you life? What quickens you? Where do you get your energy? Where do you get your drive? Where do you get your nutrition? You know, there's a really remarkably similar story just two chapters earlier in John 4. The more you study John 6, you find out that this is regularly replicating what happened in John chapter 4. This is a familiar story here, similar story in John 4, picking up the reading in verse 32. Jesus said unto them, "I have food," I have meat, right? Food, same old King James word there. "I have food to eat that you know not of." Did he have a Snickers bar in his pocket and he didn't know he was carrying around the Snickers bar and he was hiding it from them? "Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has any man brought him anything to eat?' Jesus says this to them, 'My food, my meat, what makes me tick, what gives me nutrition and life, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.'" What is Jesus telling us there? He's telling us of this enduring sustenance that he has from his Father. He's telling us of his sustenance. He was not partaking. He was not eating that which expires. He was a partaker of that which endures. So whatever else is happening in John 6 is about, whatever else it is about, it's about us being able to partake of food that will endure unto eternal life. Everlasting life, if you will. Just as we saw in verse 27. "Labor not for the food which perishes, but for that food which endures unto everlasting life. He will give it." We're going to find out later on in this passage that these food stuffs he's talking about is himself. The food turns out to be himself. And he is the true bread, as we learn in verse 32. Jesus said, he said that "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." That heaven is repeated for us in verse 33. The bread of God is he who come down from heaven. And then in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." I am the bread of life. Repeated in verse 48. "I am that bread of life." That's for a week or so ahead. St. John. "I am that bread of life." By the way, back in verse 27, where we read, "Labor not for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures," unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For him, God the Father has sealed. Let me tell you what that's not about. For him, God the Father has sealed. It isn't that God just put the cap on. It's a sealing of a different sort. If we want to examine what this is about, the better translation is the ESV of verse 27. It says this: Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. And again, not a good housekeeping seal like a man-made symbol or some board of approval from humans. This is God himself approving that this is the food you need. This is the genuine article. This is the stuff that will endure to eternal, everlasting life. So all of this enduring food that we're reading about here is contrasted with expiring food. Expire, expire, expire. When you have that image in your mind, I want you to think about the things that you are really thirsting for and hungering for in your life and you're a partaker of, and do they really matter? Are they really feeding your soul? Are they really enduring, or is it just this fleeting, expiring benefit? All this enduring food is contrasted with expiring food. In verse 32, again, we saw this verse. In verse 32, it says that, Verily, verily, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread. The true bread. And you know that word true shows up like seven different times in the Gospel of John, right? I'm the true vine, he says later on in John 15. The genuine vine. Not the artificial one, not the one that's weak, not the one that's a substitute, not the one that's counterfeit, not the one that's expiring. I'm the true food. Right? The true bread from heaven. Genuine, authentic, spiritual. The Bible tells us. The Bible's it's a heavenly book, but it's an earthly book. The rubber meets the road here. The Bible tells of the minimal and the fleeting benefit of expiring food. Our Old Testament lesson was all about that. Exodus 16 and verse 12. I heard the murmurings, the children in the wilderness there. They were complaining, murmuring all over. If we read the opening verses of that, we had it read for us. And God makes this promise to them in response to their murmuring. At even, meaning at nighttime, even evening, you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. God's going to give them these desires. God's going to sustain them. And you know what? They're going to be sustained all through the wilderness. God's going to be faithful to them and sustaining them here. But this is all in the wilderness. This is not the promised land. So they're sustained for a bit. We actually have a greater summary and a commentary of what's happening in Exodus. In the psalm that is designated for this lectionary day, and that's Psalm 78. We're going to go through some of these verses here, starting with verse 22. Because they believed not in God, trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above, and he opened the doors of heaven, he rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them of the grain or the corn of heaven. Men were eating angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. This is the quail. There's the manna, there's the quail. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained the flesh upon them as dust, and the feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. We're going to continue on through verse 33 here. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp. Isn't that interesting? God allowed that to fall right in their camp. Round about their habitation. So they did eat, and they were filled, well filled. And he gave them of their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts. But while their meat, but their food was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came up upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they still sinned and they believed not in his wondrous works. Did I have verse 33 in there? I did. Good. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. This went on year after year after year. Even though God was providing for them the foodstuffs that they needed for their physical sustenance, it was not the true bread from heaven that their soul really needed. Whatever sustenance we may gain from earthly things, even those things in your refrigerator, they must at some point give way to the greater hunger and thirst that we have. And that greater hunger and thirst is for things that are everlasting and eternal. I want us to look at John chapter 6 and verse 30. This is a part of our gospel lesson. Jesus is describing it. Remember the prior verses, he said, don't labor for the food which expires, but for the food that endures. They said unto him, what sign do you show us then, that we may see and believe thee? What work are you going to do? I wonder if you've ever really thought about the placement of this verse. The placement of this verse. It's because it sounds like they needed a daily, miraculous pick-me-up. I'm not saying it's wrong to need a daily pick-me-up. They needed a daily, miraculous pick-me-up. And why am I saying daily? It was just the day before. If we look at verse 22. It was just the day before that he had miraculously fed 5,000 of them. And at the opening of this passage, he says, look, you know, you came, you know, not to see the miracles, but because you had a belly full. In verse 22, it just tells us this is the very next day that, you know, I mean, can you imagine that Jesus here, he feeds 5,000 people. I mean, you know, what work do you do? I mean, what a work that was, right? What a miracle that was. And not a whole day goes by before they're after him. Show us something. What work do you do that we may see and believe? They needed a daily, miraculous pick-me-up. Brothers and sisters, if we have Jesus Christ dwelling within, we don't need an outward miracle a day. We have a miracle abiding within. A miracle abiding within. We have Jesus Christ abiding within. And he says that when you have him abiding within, you'll never thirst. You'll never hunger. That's what we learn in verse 35. Am I in the right spot there, Sister Kristen? Thank you. Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that comes to me will never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Yeah, we need to daily appropriate ourselves from him, but we don't need another miracle. We don't need for him to prove himself. You know, hey, I'm alone in this. I get to a point where some days I'm saying, you know, like, oh, this prayer here today, this is like a referendum on God's existence, or it's a referendum on my own level of faith. We want a daily miracle, and yet we have the miracle abiding within, so that every day we can partake of him, and every day he can pick us up, and every day as we partake of him, we are picked up. We have an enduring miracle within us. How do we have this? How do we get this? This is the gospel, verse 29. Jesus answered and he said unto them, this is the work of God. This is what God wants you to do. Believe on him whom he has sent. Believe on him. Look at verse 47 of this passage. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. That's not only about what's going to happen to you in your future, present possession of yours. So you have enduring food, enduring nutrition. What are these verses describing for us? They're describing John 4 all over again. Remember back in John chapter 4, this is the woman at the well? Jesus had answered unto her and he said, drink of this water, you'll thirst again. Go to the refrigerator. Whether those foodstuffs are expired or not, you're going to be hungry again at some point in time in the future. Some of us earlier than we would hope for that to be. But Jesus says here, if you drink of this water, you shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give, him will never thirst. The water that I give to him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4 is the water of life. John 6 is the bread of life. Whatever else John 6 is about, I want you to know this. The gift, the food, the contents are him. The gift, the food, the contents are him. The true bread from heaven does not expire. Why? Because he endures. Is Jesus Christ alive today? Yes, he is. He endures. He's the gift. He's the food. He's the contents. He dwells with. He endures. We endure. That is his destiny to endure, and it's our destiny to endure. And by the way, this passage goes out of its way to communicate his divine origin so that we will know that he endures. We are going to find out in this passage three times about his origin. That is a divine origin. Because this is a one-of-a-kind food. You won't get this food anywhere else. No other religion on the face of the earth will provide this for you. A one-of-a-kind food. Think about it. The quail and the manna, did they predate creation? Did they predate creation? To ask the question is to answer it. But three times in this discourse, Jesus reminds us of his pre-incarnate existence. We saw it in verse 33. He says, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven. That means he was there before this episode. He was there before he came to earth. Down. And so this giving of himself here, this giving of this enduring bread is not merely God meddling with the stuff of earth like quail. All right, I'm going to send some birds down there and they're going to land on their encampment. This is not God just dabbling and meddling with the stuff of earth. Nor is it God even instantaneously creating manna. This is the ever-living one, the pre-existent one. This is the ever-living one coming down. The passage goes out of its way here. We saw it in verse 33. I want us to see it in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Why does Jesus insist on saying this? Because he was there before. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And he's going to repeat it again a third time in verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. These are red letter, and this is Jesus speaking here. This divine and eternal origin is the basis for the divine and the eternal destiny. No wonder he never expires. There was never a time when he wasn't. No expiration. The Alpha and the Omega. Behold, I am alive forevermore. That's who he is. The divine and eternal origin is the basis for the divine and eternal destiny. By the way, this divine origin is the basis for the whole New Testament lesson in Ephesians. Remember Ephesians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10? Now that he ascended and he's going to shower all these gifts, including himself, upon people. And you know, whatever other differences we may have in theology in terms of the gifting and what God does and the order in which he does, let us remember that the very first thing, the very most important thing that God gives to us is a person. It's not the privileges. He gives us himself. And it's not just the gifts. And so describing Jesus again, now that he ascended, Christ has gone by this time, right? He ascended back in. What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? This is his humiliation, that he came down. That's the same language. He came down. He was. He had an eternal pre-incarnate existence, which means he's going to endure forever. It's the basis for what's happening in Ephesians and the showering of the gifts and the work of the church and, you know, the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the coming together of the whole body. It's all predicated on this eternal being, Jesus Christ, who is not expiring. He is enduring, and therefore we are not expiring. We are enduring. He that descended is the same that is also ascended far up into the heaven, that he might fill all things. He's this eternal food and nourishment for us. He's still filling all things. He's still filling me and you. So, what are we craving for? What are our goals? What are our desires? What are our aims? Where's our energy? Where's our drive? Where's our nutrition? Let us do an inventory. Let us take a look, as it were, in our own refrigerator and look at the various aspects of our lives. Do we have anything in our life, in our inventory, that is enduring food? Or is it expired, soon to be expired? Got a week left to that. Oh, vacation's over. That's going to expire. Summer's going to be over. Pick an activity. Pick an interest. Is it enduring? Or is it expire. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not saying that necessarily all those expiring things are evil or wrong. They're just not going to ultimately fill you. They're not going to give you the eternal endurance that you're going to need. God gives us all sorts of things, just like he gave the saints in the Old Testament the quail and the manna to sustain them for a while. But what Jesus is giving to us is even more than that. Than that. So what's in your refrigerator? And I want to conclude saying this. It is the bread of life alone. It is the bread of life alone that is enduring. Everything else is expiring. And so don't leave here without him. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your great provision. Lord, last week we saw how you feed your followers, even those who were even the deplorables in the culture. Lord, and you called them your priests, and you fed them, even with the first fruits, even with yourself. And Father, at the communion table, you're about to do that again for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for you. We thank you that you're the gift, that you're the food, that you're the content. And Father, we thank you that because of this, we have this hope, even this assurance of eternal life, because you do not expire, but you endure. May it be so of each one of us as we name the name of Christ. For we are Christians, Christ's ones, who follow in his footsteps. We give you thanks and praise for these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.